If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll get there in just a minute. Certainly our messages the last 2 weeks contained, revealed to us the truth. It is true, the King has come so that you might be saved by Him, surrendered to Him, and set free because of Him. It's true. Your King has come, and when He came to die, so that sin might be forgiven, the curse of sin broken, so that the devil's work might be destroyed, so that you can live in victory. It's the truth. Aren't you glad that it is? Aren't you glad for the life that is yours because Jesus died for you? It's true. The tomb where they laid Him, it's empty. Listen, the truth, He lives today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And because He does, hope and faith ought to be yours in abundance. Because He lives, listen, you're set free, guaranteed and anxiously awaiting your own resurrection day. It's the truth. Because He lives, so too shall you. Death couldn't hold Him. It won't hold you in Him. That's the truth. Over the last 2 weeks, lots of truth, and yet it was a break from our truth series. We're back to that. This morning, we've committed ourselves to the pursuit, a year-long pursuit, in fact, of truth. From John chapter 18, we've asked the question with Pilate, what is truth? And we're pursuing, we're searching for the answer so that we might know the truth. God's Word is the truth. Ultimately, then, in the end, our desire to know the truth, it's a simple desire, really, to know His Word. What His Word says, that's the truth. If we're going to find the truth, we're going to find it in His Word. If we're asking what is truth, if we're pursuing, if we're searching for the answer to that question, then we're going to go to His Word. His Word is the answer to our what is truth question. So really, our year-long series, we're simply searching for and discovering the truths of Scripture. We're doing that together on Sunday mornings. I hope you're doing that individually, even on your own. Remember, for this series, there's a weekly homework assignment attached to it. Simply share a truth from Scripture that has impacted you. That's all. Write the reference down, write the verse down, put it in the offering, hand it to me, text or email it to me, whatever works for you. And those truths that you're discovering and sharing, we're taking time to include those on Sunday morning. Even as they impacted and blessed you, they would also be a blessing to your brother and sister in the church family as well. Just a couple of verses this morning from the church. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That's sort of a two-pronged truth, isn't it? The reminder, the truth. In salvation, we die. Me, my way, the old sinful nature that was me, it dies. The selfishness, the self-centeredness, the greed, the pride, the rebellion, the disobedience, the do my own thing, go my own way, all of it, all of me dies. That's the truth of salvation. That's the truth of surrendering our lives to Him. My brother, my sister, listen, if you think you belong to Him, if you think you are His and He yours, if you think you're a Christian, a believer, a follower of Jesus, if you think you are all that, but you haven't died to you, you haven't died to self, you haven't died to sin, listen, you've believed then the lie. You're living then the lie. I fear it. Too many people in the church, too many people wanting to call themselves Christians, but really, in effect, all they've done is added Jesus to their life. Nothing has changed. There's been no death to self. It's just now Jesus is invited in to come bless their self. It's not the truth. The only way Christ lives in you, you have to take up your cross. Listen now, and you have to die daily. With that, though, then this truth, with it, your life becomes hidden now in Jesus. What a beautiful picture that is, right? What a promise, what an assurance of His presence, of His protection, His comfort, His peace. What a promise, what an assurance of joy, of strength, of power, of victory. Of course, all of that. Our lives are hidden in Him. What a good truth. From both perspectives, we die, we're hidden in Him. In fact, best to say, what a great truth for us to be reminded of this morning. Jeremiah 29:11 is a verse that another shared. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. No doubt about it. We love that truth, don't we? What a blessing it surely is. Even every time we'd consider it and be reminded of it. But with that truth, your brother added this, which I so appreciated. He said, for all the times I thought I knew what was best for me and my family, wondering why plans didn't work, then something better happens. Thank you, Lord. Can anyone else testify to that truth? How about the truth paraphrased this way? His plans are better for you than your plans. So when your way doesn't work out, listen now, no worries. The truth, something better is on the way. Hear that, believe that, live in the assurance of that this morning. The truth from God's Word. This morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the truth, verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. It's not really the message this morning, but can I take just a moment and encourage you in this? The therefore of verse 58 lets us to know that what we're about to read has everything to do with what we just read. And what we just read was this, verse 51. I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. We will all be changed, though, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised, never to die again, at the same moment, and in the same way we'll all be changed. What we read was this, verse 54, death has been swallowed up in victory. What we read, verse 57, but thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you understand? Listen, my brother, my sister, death's been defeated. Heaven is coming, and the victory is already yours in Christ Jesus. Therefore, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Here it is. Listen now, our truth this morning. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The contemporary English version says the same, but from sort of a positive perspective, rather than what it's not in vain. The contemporary English, what it is. My dear friends, stand firm and don't be shaken. Always keep busy working for the Lord. You know that everything you do for Him is worthwhile. This morning, hear that truth. Hear it in its entirety. Everything you do for Him is worthwhile. We'll start towards the end. It's the most important thing after all. It's the for Him part of the truth. Let me immediately caution you. Be careful of making the verse to say something it doesn't say. Be careful of applying it to something it doesn't necessarily apply to. The truth this morning, it's exclusively related to what you do in service to Jesus. Think of that for a moment. Consider that for a moment. From a sort of general perspective, how does one do that? How does one serve the Lord? What does one do to fulfill the responsibility of serving Him? Think of that in the context of you being asked that question. Maybe from a new believer that comes to you and says, how do I serve the Lord? What do I do to serve the Lord? From that to now the personal, how about for you? How are you serving Jesus? What are you doing in service to Him? What are you doing to serve Him? By definition, to serve is to be a servant. A servant, one definition, one who works for a master. It's one who does a job, one who performs a task, one who completes an assignment for another. So then the question again for you, how are you serving Jesus? What work are you doing for him, my brother, my sister? What job, what task, what assignment do you have to serve? It's to be of use. It's to furnish or supply with something needed or desired. It's to answer the needs of, to serve. It's to help. It's to wait on. Think of the restaurant, right? The one who waits on you, who serves you, refills your drink, brings you your food at your request, does what you ask, gives what you need. To serve is to comply with the commands and demands of another. It's to be used by. To serve is to promote or further. So the question again for you, how are you serving Jesus? What use are you being to him? How are you helping? How are you meeting his needs, as it were? Kind of odd to think of Jesus needing something, right? He's God, after all. He needs nothing. Well, in fact, he needs you. Could he do it all himself? He could. He chooses not to. He chooses to work through you, through me. Jesus needs the gospel taken all over the world. Could he do that? He could. He chooses you and me to meet that need. Jesus needs the widow and the orphan cared for. Could he do that himself? He could. He chooses you and me to meet that need. How are you helping to meet the needs of Jesus? How are you waiting on him? How are you being used by him? How are you promoting him? How are you furthering Jesus and his kingdom? What are you doing to serve the Lord? From a biblical perspective, to serve was most often used in the context of the fields, the tabernacle, and the king. So one last time, the question for you, what are you doing to serve Jesus out there in the fields that are ripe and ready for harvest? What are you doing to serve Jesus right here in this tabernacle? What are you doing to serve the king? Can I encourage you, my brother, my sister, listen, there must be something. Listen to me this morning. Somehow, some way, you must find a place. You must find an activity of service, of serving him. You must. I fear it. Too many Christians, they're living right and good Monday through Saturday, gathering to worship Jesus so faithfully on a Sunday, and yet are not serving the Lord at all. Are in fact not doing anything for him. Do you understand? Can I ask that of you this morning? I know it. I know you did. You lived your life for Jesus this last week. You said no to sin. When you didn't, you repented of that. You said yes to righteousness. You talked right. You lived right. You responded right. You represented him well. You claimed to belong to him, to be his child, and you lived like you were. You did your best to live like Jesus would. And here you are this morning, not forsaking this gathering, here to worship him, here to commune with him, here to meet with him, here to hear from him. For all that, listen, my brother, my sister, well done. And yet still, for you, the need for the question, but did you serve him at all? This last week, did you do anything for Jesus? The living right and doing right, the living for him, the gathering here, I would never mean to negate or devalue that. And yet, listen, if we've done nothing to serve him, if we've done nothing for him, I think we've tragically misunderstood and we've tragically misrepresented what it actually means to be in relationship with Jesus, our Lord. In James chapter 4 and verse 17, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. In Matthew 25, to the servant who did nothing, his master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him, give it to the one who has the 10, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Later on in the same chapter in Matthew 25 in verse 41, he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you didn't take me in. I needed clothes, you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison, you didn't look after me." They will answer, "Lord, when do we see you hungry or thirsty, a stranger, needing clothes, sick or in prison, and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon, he warned believers of the great sin of doing nothing. Listen, New Life, my brother, my sister, may we never be guilty of that sin. May we never be guilty of burying our talent. May we never be guilty of neglecting him by not serving him. May we never be guilty of doing nothing. Do you understand this morning? Can I say it again? Can I encourage you again? Even as I did a few minutes ago, listen, there must be something. My brother, my sister, somehow, some way, you must find a place. You must find an activity of service, of serving Jesus. You must. The for him, I would argue it's the most important part, but it's certainly not the only part. Back to the beginning of our phrase, our truth. Everything you do for him is worthwhile. You understand the for him. Now make sure you get the rest. Listen, the truth. Everything. Do you hear this morning? Do you understand? Everything. Just a moment ago, we read it, Matthew, the separating the sheep and the goat. This time, the message for the sheep. The king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Wow, right? What an honor. What a blessing. Don't you want that? You want that. I want that. And so then the question with a little bit of fear mixed in. Oh, but what great and amazing and world-changing thing do you have to do to be blessed of the Father like that? I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. What? That's it? It is, because it's everything. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. No way. A cup of water? It's got to be more than that. It's not, because it's everything. I was a stranger. You invited me in. I needed clothes. You clothed me sick. You looked after me in prison. You visited. Then the righteous will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, feed you, thirsty, give you drink? When did we see you a stranger, invite you in, needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick in prison, go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Everything. I'm reminded, 5,000 men on a hill, and it's late. And there's no food. And if we can say it this way, the only one stepping up to serve, a boy with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. Absolutely laughable. And yet it's not, because in fact, it's everything. In Luke chapter 21, as he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in 2 very small copper coins. That's no good. That's no way to serve. That can't possibly count. Oh, but it does. You know it, because it's everything. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in all she had to live on. In Mark chapter 14, a woman with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume poured it all out on the head of Jesus. Those in the room called it a waste. Jesus said, no way, because it's everything. What she does, he makes a lasting memorial of it. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Listen, the truth this morning, when it's for him, it's everything. Listen now, it's everything you do. Truth be told, I think we're fine with the truth. We truly believe it. For others, but for us, for me, it literally makes no sense, but this is what we do. This is what I've done. Full disclosure, it's what I've heard some of you sort of be inclined to say. We think we can't do anything. We think we can't serve. We think we can't help. All I have is food to give, but that's exactly what we read. We don't hear the truth. We don't believe it. Not for us. Giving some food, a drink of water, some clothes, a visit. No way. That couldn't count for me. Surely it has to be more. But we don't feel we can do more. And therein our frustration. Ultimately, all too often, our reason for giving up and even trying to serve Jesus. Listen, if all you can do is share a meal, if all you can do is offer some water, if all you can do is give some clothes, go and visit, if that's it, it's enough. Because it's everything, listen now, everything you do for him. All you have is 5 loaves and 2 fish. Even if all you have is 2 small coins. You think it works for the boy and it works for the widow, but it doesn't work for me. That doesn't count. That can't count. Listen, you think wrong. It does, because it's everything. Everything you do. You may only have to offer that which would be counted as a waste. Listen, when you offer that in service to him, it's a beautiful thing. He makes a lasting memorial of it. Of course he does, because it's the truth. It's everything. Everything you do. Listen, too many Christians are doing nothing, guilty of the great sin of doing nothing, all because they're worried they can't do like everyone else. They can't teach or preach. They can't sing. They can't give. They're not as qualified, they're not as creative, they're not as popular, they're not as influential, they're not as pretty. On and on the list goes. They can't serve because they can't do like everyone else does. It's a lie. The truth, everything, listen now, everything you do for him, the truth. It's worthwhile. It's worth it. It's worth the time. It's worth the effort. It's worth the energy. It's worth the resources. It's worth the sacrifice. It's worth the inconvenience. It's worth it. The thing, the serving him, the service to him, it's worth it. You understand this morning? Not everything you do is worth the time. Not everything you do is worth your effort and energy. Not everything you do is worth the resources it takes, what it costs you. Not everything you do is worth the sacrifice. Not everything you do is worth turning your calendar upside down. Not everything you do is worth the inconvenience. But everything you do for him is everything. Everything you do. It's worthwhile. It's worth it all. One translation says it this way. It's not in vain. Not ever is it in vain. Not one thing that you do for him is ever in vain. Another translation says, it's not pointless. Another, it's not worthless. Of course it's not. It's worthwhile. The New Living Version says it's never useless. The New Century, it's never wasted. The Message echoes that thought. Nothing you do for him is a waste of time or effort. My brother, my sister, hear that truth this morning. Believe that. Can I ask you, do you believe that? That somehow, some way, you must find a place. You must find an activity of service and of serving him. You must. Because it's the for him that is the most important thing. Do you believe that? That everything you do, all you did was make a shopping trip. That can't count. Oh, it counts. Because it's everything. All you did, all you could do, put a couple coins in the BGMC offering as it was passed. That can't count. I see people dropping in bills and dropping in checks. My little two coins surely doesn't count. Oh, it counts. You did it for him. It counts. Everything counts. Everything you do for him. All you could do was take a meal. You stumbled and bumbled all over the cooking. You weren't even sure it was good. But you did it for him. It counts. You shared your faith. You tried to encourage the brother or sister. You visited in the hospital. You didn't even know what to say. You said silly things. You made jokes. They're lying on their deathbed and you're trying to get a laugh out of them. You're walking away. How embarrassing was that? It must not count. It does. What you do for him, everything you do for him, it counts. Do you believe that? Everything, no matter what it is, no matter how small, no matter how seemingly insignificant, everything, all of it. Do you believe that everything you do for him is worthwhile? My brother, my sister, that is the truth. So this morning, believe that. Don't believe something other than that. It's a lie. This is the truth. Believe then this. Everything. Everything you do. Hugely important. Everything you do for him is worthwhile. It's not worthless. It's not wasted. It never is. Hear that, believe that, now live in that truth. How so? Back to 1 Corinthians 15. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Some translations, give yourselves completely to the work of the Lord. The contemporary English, always keep busy working for the Lord. Another translation, always excel in the work you do for the Lord. The New Living, always work enthusiastically for the Lord. Last one, the Message says it this way: don't hold back. Throw yourselves in to the work of the Master. Listen, it's the best response, really. Even it's the only way to live in the truth. Everything you and I do, everything for him, it's worthwhile. And so then, of course, we don't hold back. We throw ourselves into his work. We excel. We keep busy. We always completely and enthusiastically give ourselves to his work and to serving him. Jesus, I pray this morning, would you help us in that? Lord, I pray that we would, every one of us, sense it in this room this morning. Very, very careful. Not condemnation. That's not your work. But Lord, instead, rather, what is your work? The work of your Spirit, conviction. Unless I miss my guess, some of us in the room, we did nothing for you. We did nothing for you this last week. truth be told, we might have a hard time remembering the last time we ever did something for you. Oh, Jesus, you know it. You know our hearts. We love you. We want to serve you. We believe in you. We've made you to be our Lord. We're here this morning. We came to the altar. We worship. We gave ourselves to the word. We listened attentively. We're doing all the right things in relationship with you, but we're not doing anything for you. Lord, would you help us to sense the conviction of your Spirit? I pray for my brother, my sister that struggles. It's like beating their head against the wall because they feel so stuck. But I can't do anything because I can't teach and I can't preach and I can't sing and I don't have a lot of money and I don't have a lot of talent and I don't have a lot of skill and I don't have a lot of creativity. Or would you let them to know? Would you let them to be reminded this morning? Would you let them to hear so clearly and believe so confidently the truth? Everything we do for you is worthwhile. We can do something. Hey, listen, my brother, you can do something. So do something for Jesus. Listen, my sister, you can do something. So do something for Jesus. Don't put yourself in a box thinking you can't serve if you can't serve in the box way. No, you can serve him. And you can rest in the confidence and the assurance of this, that everything you do for him, it's worthwhile. Lord, would you remind us of that this morning? Jesus, we hear that truth. We believe that truth. Would you help us, Lord, I pray, to now live in that truth. To give ourselves completely to your work. We're not holding back. We're not holding back. Some of us are going to go from this place and we're going to do whatever it is we think to do. We're going to do it for you and it's going to count. Some of us through this week, we're going to do for you. We're going to do things with a new motive, a new intention. We're going to do it for the purpose of serving you. Some of us tomorrow, we're going to get up, go to work. And all of a sudden, there's going to be a different perspective. We're not going for a paycheck. We're not going to do a job. We're going to serve Jesus. We're going as your servants, ready to be used by you, whatever you ask of us, to obey exactly that. Lord, would you help us this morning? Would you help us to hear your word and respond rightly to it? Would you help us to give ourselves to your work? Just for a moment, I know we've already had altar time this morning, a wonderful, a beautiful time with Jesus. But would you just take a minute and quiet yourself before him that you might hear from him? Because I wonder what he would speak to your heart maybe before you leave this morning, how you can serve him. Maybe he brings somebody to your mind. Is that it? Is there a name? Someone to reach out to, someone to encourage, someone to help, someone to bless, someone to love on. Is that it? Listen, you think what you can do, it's not much, not in relationship to their need. What good does that do? Let me ask you, what good does 5 loaves and 2 fish do for 20,000 people? Don't you understand? Don't you see? But it's everything for him. Everything you do for him is worthwhile. You might think you don't have much to give. You can't do anything. Oh, my friend, you can do something because everything counts when you do it for him. Is it somebody? Is it something? Hey, listen, don't put God in a box. Is the Lord calling you to a new place of serving within the church? Maybe the ministry doesn't even exist yet. The thing isn't even happening yet, and you're sensing it. And you're wanting to back out, but that's not even going on yet. That's not even, I can't even help out at that. It doesn't even exist. The Lord's speaking to your heart. That's how you need to serve him. Let's do it, my brother, my sister. Let's throw ourselves into that work. Let's make it happen. Let's go for it. What is Jesus speaking to you this morning? Come on. I know you have to sense it. I believe it. The word of the Lord. You have to hear from the Spirit this morning. You have to be doing something, my brother, my sister. You have to be doing something to serve the Lord. You have to find a place. You have to find an activity. What is it? All arguments set aside. This morning we're holding to the truth, not believing some lie. No way. We're holding to the truth. Everything we do for the Lord is worthwhile. Jesus, speak to your people this morning. Speak to your people this morning. Let us to know what you're saying to us, the work, the serving that you're calling us to. Speak to us this morning. Speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Would you lift your hands to receive the blessing of the Lord? I pray it over you this morning. I declare it over you, under shepherd of the great shepherd, high priest of this assembly, the Lord's word and the Lord's will for your life, for this moment, as we draw this service to a conclusion, that I would declare blessing over you. So listen, my brother, my sister, listen now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. The Lord turn to you and give to you his peace in Jesus' name. Receive that this morning, would you? Would you say amen? Amen, amen and amen. Can I invite you to leave now? Go and serve the Lord out there, and may he bless you as you do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you this morning.